Welcome, Blaine, to Napoleon Hill Institute Training.
I am so happy to be here, truly. And I want to just kind of give a shout out to you for some of the work that you're doing, not only with the foundation and Napoleon Hill Institute, but also with the Unstoppable Foundation. You are just an exemplar of what it means to be a giver in life and a dreamer that executes.
Well, as my mentor, for the sake of all of those people that are involved in Unstoppable and the literally millions that we've been able to impact through the leadership of Cynthia Kersey, wrote the book Unstoppable Women, the amazing mentor of mine who taught me the infinite loop of giving to allow other people to be able and capable of helping others so they can be closest to God, so they can be at their highest self. And that was a lesson that I learned through my mentor, Cynthia Kersey. And if you have any inclination to support us, we certainly are doing great work for over 20 years at the Unstoppable Foundation. Talking about dreams, though, in a dream that Cynthia had over 20 years ago to empower others and to not forget the young women she had met in Kenya, we all have these dreams. Their ideas are not the problem. There's millions of great ideas. But I have really dedicated my life and through the efforts of Napoleon Hill Institute about execution. And execution is the problem. Information, materialization, and monetization, the man-made constructs of the outcomes of execution. There seems to be this gap between where we are and where we want to be that creates by what we do, not just by what we imagine. And this idea of intention, whether it be Wayne Dyer or the Zanders or, of course, Napoleon Hill, to understand what we can conceive and imagine we can achieve, but only with intention, with what we do say, think, feel, and believe. And we all have had these great ideas that excited us in the moment. But whether it was days, weeks, or months later, or even years, they're still just ideas. And it's because we weren't intentional. We didn't take a definiteness of purpose. We didn't put together a go-no-go plan on what we're going to do, say, think, feel, and believe in this divine direction. And definitely didn't take the time to give the relativity and meaning for the sake of what are we going to do it. In this training, we will show how dreaming creates the vision, but building creates the results. And the difference is not intelligence or intuition or inspiration or talent or even resources, but it's execution. And so I'm going to start, Blaine, with the first lesson in this idea of dreamers versus builders, with what do you perceive as the difference of having this belief, this vision without execution? And this happens every day in our personal and professional lives of what we want to become. But without execution, they just remain dreams and there are no results. Where do you see the biggest difference between the dreamers and those that are the builders?
Two things. Yeah, one, number one, and this is the number one piece. You've got to do the do. I mean, just period, the end. Yeah. And this is where I think professionals, you know, and I'll use the word in a broad sense here, professionals separate themselves from amateurs. Amateurs are going to be looking at the clock at 6 a.m. in the morning going, well, maybe 30 more minutes. You know, they'll hit the snooze alarm. Professionals are going to go, you know, this is what I said I wanted. This is where I said I'm going. The alarm has gone off. It is time to move. It's time to do the do. And it's that mindset that makes the difference. It's not just the dream itself. The dream is, you know, like you're saying, everybody has dreams. Everybody has ideas. They're manifested when somebody has actually stepped into the harness and started doing the pull.
It's so true. And, you know, one of the things too is I think, you know, within the realm of definiteness of purpose, of inspiration, of the common denominator of successful people that have a desire that they must be what they can be, are, you know, in my opinion, the people that really do the do are the people that wake up before their alarm because they're so excited to do the do.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that those are the empty milers. And there's a whole nother level of execution when you're waking up before or without an alarm to do the do, because you have a desire that you must be what you can be. You know, for the sake of what you're taking care of, your sleep and your health and your family and your finance, your faith, and you're studying the time to get better and more efficient and effective and statistically successful, productive in a way that you've never imagined, even beyond the dreams that you have. So there is a next level to do the do, and it's inside of you that that desire lies. You mentioned there was a second thing beyond do the do. What was that difference that you see?
It's the difference that separates the amateur mindset from the professional mindset. And honestly, I think what that ends up becoming is what, you know, Wallace Wattles would call the desire. Neville Goddard talks about desire. Desire isn't, God, that'd be nice if. Desire is, I can't not move because this is so important. That it's that desire that fuels. And it doesn't come out of a sense of lack. It doesn't come out of a sense of, I don't have this. It comes out of a sense of, I know that this is here. Now it's my job to go get it. It's already manifested. I've got to go get it now. And that's the compulsion. That's the compulsion that comes into play here. I can taste it, feel it, smell it. I want to have it in my possession at this point in time. So it's that desire that makes the difference.
And within the difference too is the understanding about having a centralized repository of activities and being able to somehow categorize your activity, planned, unplanned, paid, unpaid, non-negotiable, negotiable is one that I use, categorized as aligned with the divine direction, with devotion, or interfering with that divinity. And, you know, understanding that shift that you're talking about from thinking to doing and doing the do and prioritizing correctly, there has to be a system. And for me, understanding the dependent variable of time and being very consistent in how I do the do and what I'm doing with my time, because today, especially in this, you know, monkey brain world of short-term stimuli, it's quite easy to get distracted. I use the student of the calendar with non-negotiable, negotiable behavior, categorization of divine direction and interference. Is there some mechanism or methodology that you use to make sure that you're doing the do and not just thinking the think?
Well, you mentioned student of the calendar. I have been working with my calendar for probably 40 years. I mean, truly, I know that what goes on the calendar is actually something that's going to get attended to. If it doesn't go on the calendar, it doesn't get attended to. It will tend to fall off. Now, it doesn't mean that it doesn't sometimes happen because I've got some white space there that I can fill up. But if it's on the calendar, that, you know, it's a non-negotiable. And I'm very clear that I do not put something on the calendar that I'm not willing to follow through with. So, yeah, and you can
very
call
good.
It
when circumstances arise. When circumstances arise that you can't follow through, do you have a methodology or a system for reprioritizing, pre-prioritizing, post-prioritizing? What do you do when circumstantially you've dedicated time to something, but lo and behold, something occurs, family or health, that takes priority over that financial plan that you had?
It gets rescheduled as soon as possible. It doesn't fall away. It gets rescheduled because
immediately,
if it got on the calendar,
understanding where that blame, yeah, and understanding where that those parking places are allows you to do that. So I always say, study the unplanned time as much as you study your plan time, because if you do come up with a well developed plan, God will laugh at you.
Boy, is that true? Yep. Yeah. So one, yeah, to that point, I do build in white space as a contingency. And I do have that in play, and I'll block it out on my calendar so that I can actually pull it out if I need to.
Yeah, that's like having a parking place at Costco at noon on a Saturday. You know, and I tell people, if you don't have white space, then you don't have a parking place at noon on a Saturday at Costco, and that's how much time it saves you. You know, because anybody that goes to Costco at noon on a Saturday knows how much time it would save them if they had a parking place in the very front of Costco available to them for prioritized parking. That's exactly what the white space is. It's prioritized parking that allows people to move forward. If anybody would like the student of the calendar exercise, I'd be happy to give that to them. All they got to do is email me, David means beloved, at the first initial, Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant and send you the student of the calendar guide exercises and books. Just email me, David at dmeltzer.com. Moving on to lesson number two, is it's one thing to go ahead and do the do, but if we don't know what we want, then the do may be in alignment with something that we don't want instead of something we do. So without definiteness of purpose, if you haven't read, of course, the Outwitting the Devil, we drift and dreamers stay vague. While builders are definite in their purpose, they know exactly what they want, who they can help, and who can help them, utilizing the student in the calendar to be how, and then prioritizing. We want success or growth, but we don't define what actually looks like. With measurable terms, we're not going to get there. You are the king of helping people not drift. What are some of the things that we can do to create a definiteness of purpose so we can apply our why instead of searching for dreams?
It's been my experience that most people are far more clear about what they don't want than what they do want. And
so, yeah,
so being able to clarify this to the point of this particular lesson, I run a mastermind. It's a year-long mastermind. We right now are in the middle of a full month specifically focused on the topic of clarity, being clear about what's in play, being clear about what I want. So a couple of components that come into play with that have to do with inner talking. Partly it has to do with how I voice what it is that I'm after so that I can actually get people to work with me in the process. But more than anything, it is anchored in something that you and I both will talk about. It's called the for the sake of what. It's one thing to have a dream, but if it's not rooted in a meaningful for the sake of what does this make possible? What do I get to have, do, or be that I wouldn't get to have, do, or be if this wasn't on my radar? So it's the clarity around that have, do, be. It's that clarity around the for the sake of what. What matters? Because if I'm not clear about what matters, it's real easy to drift.
So easy to drift when we don't have some sort of framework to know our divine direction and align the meaning of the past in that as well. And clarity provides a bigger spectrum and a stronger signal to access the information that's necessary, the monetization and materialization. And so when we define things, the only caveat, which I used to get into deep conversations with Bob Proctor, our mentor, your really close friend, he was very insistent about having and defining exactly what we want in specific terms. And I was a little bit in a daring idea that I think too much specificity creates resistance, especially time. When we say I want, $1,000,036 by December 22nd at noon, this actually creates resistance, in my opinion. I would rather say I want to double the amount of money I make as fast as I can. Or I would like specifically this or better. I think there's a realm of infinite humility that I may not know what I don't know. And so this specificity and clarity can be in a trajectory where I'm allowing still the open-ended infinite nature of the universe to provide me better than or different than and better than, trusting with faith the protection, promotion, love, and perfection of the infinite, the source, and become a better resource. So any feelings about, I know we share that mentorship with Bob. I know he was a big, big proponent of specificity. Which school of thought do you prefer? One of exact specificity or more an open-minded trajectory and humility based acceleration of progress in pursuit of that?
My preference is not to constrain the universe. And when I get too specific, now I've given instructions to the universe that it has to fit in this container. And if the universe has got more than will fit in that container, I don't get access to it, which is why I actually work with, for the sake of what? What, Matt? What's the experience that I'm seeking? Money is an example here, is just a placeholder for an experience. So I want to experience abundance in my life and all of its manifest forms. That opens up a very interesting conversation with the universe. And there's a lot of room to play with that one.
Yeah. And if you would like the practices to get clarity, balance, harmony, and focus, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, beloved servant, david@dmeltzer.com. The third lesson is the idea of discipline, which is consistency over motivation or inspiration. I call it devotion because I see so many people disciplined in things, but not achieving through their discipline what they desire because they leave out that for sake of what. And for me, devotion is a culmination of being disciplined in a divine direction and aligning the meaning or for the sake of the relativity of what that disciplined, devotional, divine direction and meaning is giving us. Because so many people do, they're disciplined in working but don't make money. They're disciplined in working and don't provide for their families. They're disciplined in working and they don't take care of themselves. And instead, when you understand the divine direction, the discipline becomes devotional with the desire that they must be what they can be. And so dreamers a lot of times rely on the inspiration, but builders rely on devotion, disciplined in a divine direction, which is aligning the meaning as well. But without discipline, devotion in divine direction, consistent action is the only thing that compounds, accelerates, aggregates the success that we desire or better, as you mentioned earlier. Any advice you can give us in the inspiration and motivation to transition discipline to devotion, to stay consistent, knowing that human nature hates repetitive. It is counterintuitive that I should have to do something the same every day, but that's what it takes, as Gladwell and many others have taught us, in order to get the exponentiality out of life.
We say we hate repetition, yet we wake up in the morning when we brush our teeth with the exact same hand that we used yesterday. So we have examples all over our life where repetition is in place, and what it's done is it's produced habits. And habits are the mechanism by which we actually produce what we have in our life. Our life is a function of and an expression of the habits that we engage in. So, I love the word devotion here, Dave. Devotion is the marriage. It's the marriage of desire and faith. That's what devotion ends up becoming. And you think about a devotional act. It's an act that is generated out of desire for an outcome, but it's also faith that that outcome exists. So you put those two together, and now you've got something that you can actually, with joy, have a habitual repetitive practice with. You know, people that are devotional do not rue the activity. They actually enjoy it. They look forward to it. I'm devoted to my meditation practice. I mean, it's just something that is part and parcel of the way that I live my life. And if it's not there, I miss it. Same with brushing my teeth. If I don't do it, I miss it.
And one of the things that I teach in order to create the discipline, devotion, consistency over the motivation to get us up, get us started, and get us back started is a habit machine. So an actual methodology of building habits, not just specific habits, but the actual habit of creating habits. And if you would like the habit machine, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, david@dmeltzer.com. David means beloved, D's first initial, Meltzer, servant. Let me be your beloved servant. Lesson number four, a repetitive lesson nonetheless. We'll just brush our teeth once again with the same hand. But accountability is a part and parcel to everything. And we need to take ownership of how we and what we do to be responsible, to attract it to ourselves, and most importantly, to participate in a perception, regardless of the circumstances. I call it living above the line. Too many people today live below the line and blame, shame, and justification, all which interfere with their potential. And so there's certain inventories and certain audits that need to take place. And to do so, we have to do something difficult, and it's actually give ourselves feedback, honest feedback. And like I always say, nobody likes feedback in the present, but we certainly don't like to give ourselves honest feedback. Why be self-torturing? But more importantly, we need to track those and be consistent and own them. For you, accountability has a huge role in everything that you do. How best do you help to help people with their accountability and justify their that they use to justify their inactions?
I use a simple model that I was introduced to about 40 years ago called reasons or results. At any point in time in life, we will have one of two things, either the result that we said we wanted or the reason, story, or justification for why we didn't have it. Most people will plant a flag on the reasons, results, stories side of that ledger, and they will argue to the death about the correctness, the rightness, the validity of their story, reason, or result. The problem with that is the story, reason, or result has all the power at that point in time. It has all the power. And if I'm willing to own the result, whatever the result might be, the story, reason, or result becomes irrelevant. It's just kind of like, oh, this is the result. Now what do? I either celebrate it or I go, okay, what's next? How do I work with this? The minute I get captured by story, reason, or result, I've abdicated responsibility and I become a victim of life. And that's where drift sets in.
So smart. If you want to take control of your life, it's accountability that gives us control. Gratitude will give you perspective. Forgiveness definitely will give you ease, but it's accountability that takes control, because we're focused only on what we learned from or made from those mistakes. If you would like the accountability exercise, email me david@dmeltzer.com. And we are blessed to have at the end of this training, a Q&A session with the amazing Blaine Bartlett, my mentor, teacher, my coach, blainebartlett.com. Join his mastermind, join his one-on-one sessions, blainebartlett.com. The fifth lesson before we get to your Q&A is the actual differentiator between dreamers and builders, and it's execution. And part of executing is being okay with taking imperfect action. You know, one of my favorite examples of this, one of a dear friend of ours in up there in Seattle invented Pictionary, and he wanted my help in writing a book. And he just kept rewriting a book. He probably wrote six books because he wanted a perfect book. And he would not take imperfect action in publishing his first rendition of a book about his story of creating Pictionary. But perfection only does one thing. It delays progress. It interferes with the progress. And builders understand that action creates feedback, and nobody likes feedback in the present, but feedback is what creates growth. The things that we don't like, the things that cause us to have pain, are what create growth. And if we wait until everything is perfect before we launch, post, or start, we will be missing options, opportunities, and touches of favor along the way. It is progress, not perfection, that we seek. Where do you see people falling into the perfection trap, Blaine?
Perfection comes into play when I identify myself with my results. I am my results. And when that dynamic is playing, and this is where you'll see imposter syndrome, you'll see all of these other things start to show up. When I was a very little baby, I kept falling as I was learning to walk. And I never walked perfectly until I was about 5 or 4, somewhere in that neighborhood. But at that point in time, I actually got a sense of what balance was. And now what's interesting is I am walking is an exercise of being continuously off balance. That's what it is. It's an exercise in being continuously off balance as I move myself through life. That's excellence in execution. Perfection is I stand still, but I'm upright and I'm balanced. That causes no movement. I'm dead in the water at that point in time. And that's essentially what a default towards perfection creates, is stillness, in the sense of there's no movement, there's no productivity, there's no action. Because I'm breathing and I'm circulating air. That's about it.
It is definitely an interfering philosophy, an attachment, emotional attachment to an outcome. If you'd like the progress, not perfection exercise, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. And the final lesson before we get to the Q&A with Blaine Bartlett, blainebartlett.com, is exactly what you were talking about, which is identity. The ego is now protecting a perception of who we think other people think we are, or what we hope other people think we are, instead of the great I and I, the great I am. And the more that we can understand that builders live in a realm of I am, what am I doing to interfere with it? Not this is what I think other people think of me, or this is what I want people to think of me. Lasting change doesn't come from what we do occasionally. It comes from being consistent, as we said. And if we want the results and our daily actions are not reflective of an identity of someone who builds those type of results, we are not going to get to where we want to be or better. And so as we adopt the identity of a builder, it is shown by the progress, the habits that we talked about. And we need to use a AAA philosophy of getting alignment with the divine, taking action aligned with the divine, and preparing adjustment with the divine. As we reinforce consistency and the AAA philosophy, Blaine, to become a builder, what identity should we take on?
I am a work in progress. I think it's something as simple as that.
That is such a deep and profound, simple statement. But remember, everybody, the simple things to do are simple not to do. I am on the potter's wheel. I am a work in progress. I am pursuing my potential and learning to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of that potential, that identity of becoming a builder, and stop just dreaming. Never stop dreaming, but stop just dreaming. Be a doer, because doers do. Because at some point, we have to decide whether we're going to keep dreaming or start building. Our future is determined by the actions we take consistently. The people who create the most impact aren't the ones with the best ideas. They're the ones who act on them repeatedly over time without quit and enjoy their activities. We definitely don't need more ideas, especially with AI. There's more ideas about ideas than the ideas could even infinitely imagine. We need more execution. We need people to monetize, materialize, inform us. Builders separate themselves through consistent action, not perfect plans. And if you would like the exercise and guide on becoming a builder, understanding the dreamers versus builders contrast, please email me, your beloved servant. David means beloved. @D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. David@dmeltzer.com. This has been a blessing to be part of this Napoleon Hill Institute Wednesday training with my partner, the amazing coach, mentor, and teacher. Join him on his mastermind, on his coaching, Blaine Bartlett, blainebartlett.com. Remember, most importantly, everyone, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.